You're listening to the RE/MAX Hustle Podcast, brought to you by RE/MAX of Western Canada.
Well, hi there, and welcome to the RE/MAX Hustle Podcast. My name is Wade Patterson. I'm a franchise development consultant with RE/MAX of Western Canada, and I'm your host for this audio experience. The RE/MAX Hustle Podcast is all about providing you with value by leveraging the knowledge and expertise of our RE/MAX network. But on this special episode, I'm joined by Harry Mack, one of the world's greatest freestyle rappers based in Los Angeles, California. While Harry has been rapping since the age of 12, his awareness has grown exponentially over the past 3 years thanks to his interactive and quick-thinking approach. He has impressed Kendrick Lamar with his freestyling talents on Power 106 Los Angeles and has even performed on The Ellen Show. Harry constantly strives to push the boundaries of his own abilities while innovating freestyle rap in the digital age. Harry, welcome to the RE/MAX Hustle Podcast.
Oh, man. Hey, Wade, thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Excited to have you as well. And believe it or not, you're the first freestyle rapper we've had on the RE/MAX Hustle Podcast. But I really think that there's a lot our audience can learn from the success you've experienced within your craft. So I'm really excited about this conversation. And let's start from the beginning. What initially drew you into the art form of rapping?
So I became obsessed with hip-hop music when I was a young child, growing up in Portland, Oregon, which is where I'm from. I guess we sort of started listening to hip-hop, me and my friends, you know, back in probably like third or fourth grade. And really what happened was my older sister, who's 3 years older than me, told me at some point that all of the cool kids were listening to Jammin' 95.5. And that just so happened to be, you know, the mainstream hip-hop radio station in Portland at that time. And, you know, when you have an older sibling, you're kind of always looking up to them to know, you know, what's cool. And so my sister was really kind of a big influence on me and still is today, but definitely back then. So when she said, you know, I should be listening to Jammin' 95.5, I listened to her and I threw the station on. But really the music just grabbed me almost immediately, you know, and I don't know what it is necessarily about hip hop that speaks to me so deeply. But, you know, from the second I heard that beat and, you know, got moved by it. And from the second I, you know, heard the rhythm of the lyrics and just the, you know, the sound and the DNA of the music, it just gripped me and pulled me in. And, yeah, that's kind of what first drew me into hip hop music back in third or fourth grade, listening to the radio. And then we just, you know, I started writing my own rhymes around that time in fourth or fifth grade, started writing my first rhymes and everything just kind of took off from there.
I'm guessing a lot of people assume that this is a talent that you were born with, but to my understanding, you were a beginner, very much a beginner in the early days who became addicted with practicing. So what specifically has it taken for you to get from that beginner point to where you're at now?
Great question. Yeah, it's true. A lot of people hear what I do and assume that it's some natural born talent that I was, you know, so lucky to be gifted with at birth. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Like you pointed out, my first raps were terrible. You know, I definitely, if we could all, you know, hear the first freestyles that I ever did, or even the first raps that I ever wrote down, you know, you wouldn't stop and say, yeah, that guy's got it. He's going to be famous, you know, not by a long shot. So I've developed my skills as a rapper over years. And, you know, starting back when I was 10 or 11 years old, I'm 30 now, and I've kind of been obsessed with practicing since then. So it really it's not a natural born talent. It was born out of an obsession with the music, you know, and a deep love for the music. And just this almost addiction to practicing and working on my skills and trying to improve for, you know, over 18 years now.
In order for you to be successful at what you do, a few things are required. But first off, you need to be able to think so incredibly quickly. So I want to break down even further what you were just talking about. I mean, at times, audience members will say random words, which I'm hoping we're going to do later in the conversation to kind of showcase your skill set. But specifically, how do you practice that type of thing? Like, how do you practice thinking that quickly and being able to incorporate random words, which you could have no preparation toward, into freestyle rap?
there's a lot of different ways to work on it. But, you know, it's similar to people who are practicing, you know, improv comedy or improv theater. There are a lot of kind of guiding principles and concepts that can be really helpful when you're first diving in and trying to learn how to improvise. So one of the big ones is trying to be in a childlike, playful state when you improvise, right? Which means that we're attempting to be non-judgmental of ourselves and of the other people who are with us improvising, right? So when you're a little kid and you're in preschool and the activity for the day is finger painting, right? I mean, that's like every kid's favorite day, right? You get to dip your hands into the paint, literally get your hands dirty, you get to make a mess, right? And you're also creating and you're tapping into this just sort of free creative part of your being and of your personality. And you're just throwing paint and making this mess and having the best time and filling up this paper with some crazy creation. Usually it's pretty abstract, you know, and really you're not judging it, you know, at that age. I really don't think most preschoolers on finger painting day are saying, this was okay, but it probably could have been a lot better. You know, I should have made a better color selection, or, you know, it's not that at all. It's not that judgmental state. It's that childlike, playful state where you're just having fun making things. And that's kind of a really important principle to practicing improv is being non-judgmental, so that you're able to kind of be in the moment and just let whatever comes to you come out. And so we have to be able to commit to our first ideas, especially in instances where, like you're talking about, people are throwing me random words. It's really about committing, you know, the first idea that I have that spawns from that word they give me, that's what I grab onto and that's what I go forward with. And, you know, it's very forward moving. I'm not really able to look back. There's no such thing as revision. If I make a mistake, it's already happened and it's gone. Let's focus on what's happening now. So yeah, those are just a few kind of overarching concepts that are really helpful when you're trying to practice improv.
The other thing I love about what you do is that you're constantly having to prove yourself. So like even right now, I mean, some of our Remax audience may have heard of you. Several listeners probably have not. So they may be thinking even to themselves right now listening to this, is this guy actually any good? I mean, we haven't heard him rap yet.
Right.
How have you built your confidence to the point of being able and willing to put your skills to the test on a constant basis?
Yeah, great question. So I built that up over time. You know, again, I was really lucky because I really started freestyling probably when I was 12 years old, right? And, you know, I was doing it with my best friends at the time in middle school. And so it was me and my friend Brady and a couple other guys. And every day after school, you know, we were just so excited to go back to my friend Brady's house and run up to his attic where he had his turntable set up. And we had our $20 Radio Shack mic. You know, and we were just so excited to go freestyle, you know, the same way certain kids after school are so excited to hop on their skateboards or scooters or, you know, go play a game of street basketball. You know, that was our thing, was freestyling, but we weren't really showing it to anyone outside of our friend group. Right. So it was kind of this like sort of secret but it was this obsession that we had that only we really knew about. And, you know, we would, at that time, I would have been terrified by the idea of doing it publicly, right? And then gradually over time, you know, as we started to improve at it, there was sort of this natural progression where by the time we got to high school, you know, we started going to house parties every now and then and things like that. And we were getting to that age. And so it got to a point where we'd be at a party with a few people and someone would say, yo, let's start the freestyle session. Let's start the cipher. And so we would start ciphering just among ourselves still, but there were other people sort of in the peripheral who would catch wind of what we were doing and sort of gravitate towards us. So a crowd would kind of form organically. And so that's kind of how we started getting our toes wet, you know, with doing it in front of other people. And then towards the end of high school, you know, we were booking shows and, you know, we had produced a couple albums and we're really kind of taking it to the stage. And that was sort of the beginning of me freestyling in front of people. So I really built my confidence up organically in a gradual way over time. But certainly back when I first started, I would not have had the confidence to go in front of somebody like Kendrick Lamar and do a freestyle. So yeah, it took time to get there.
No, 100%. That makes perfect sense. So nowadays, when you do this, I mean, everything I've seen on YouTube, on your channel, it's just so consistent. Do you still get nervous doing it now?
Definitely. Yeah, I still get nervous now. I mean, certainly when I got to rap for Kendrick or, you know, Joey Badass or anybody like that who I'm a fan of, I get very nervous for that, you know, because it's just important to me to make a good first impression because their music is so meaningful to me. And even when we're out doing videos for, you know, my Gorilla Bars series, where, you know, I'm approaching strangers in public spaces pre-COVID, obviously, can't do it now, but, you know, I'm approaching strangers in public spaces and freestyling for them and we're filming it. I get very nervous for that. You know, it's a very, unusual scenario to be in, you know, approaching strangers in general is nerve-wracking, and especially the thought of, you know, performing for them and trying to win them over. There's a lot of nervousness involved, but, you know, I've practiced so much, right, in an organized way, and I really have a lot of experience. So, you know, as professional musicians, what we try to do is practice to a point where there's a lot of headroom, right? So it's like, you know, even on my worst day, if I'm feeling very uninspired, you know, or I'm in a bad mood or something bad has happened to me, you know, whatever it is, I know that I have this foundation, this skill set, you know, where even on an off day, I'll still be able to deliver at an acceptable professional level. And obviously, I'm always striving to go beyond that, right? I'm always hoping to really hit that peak inspiration and really tap into that flow state and do something that even I can be, you know, impressed by. But if we can't get there for whatever reason on any given day, I still am confident that I'll be able to deliver at an acceptable professional level. So that's what kind of that can help, you know, when you're in those nerve-wracking situations to remember, okay, we've done this a lot of times, and you know, the skill set is going to be there to serve me even when I'm nervous.
Interested in learning more about a career in real estate? Head over to joinremax.ca.
You mentioned back there one of the things that you do on YouTube, and that's a Gorilla Bars series of live in-person rapping where people are giving you random words. And this is the part I think is really inspirational for our audience as well, which is real estate professionals, and that is your ability to adapt. So once COVID happens, obviously now we're not doing the group setting, public gatherings are discouraged, but you were reluctant to say, I can't still do what I do. You just adapted it. So you started doing through a website called Omegle, through video conversations and virtually having people give you words and you would do the raps that way. And my understanding is you've done even more with that with YouTube. So I guess what is your message to somebody who's maybe been a little reluctant in their own business to adapt and how it's worked for you and you've been able to actually adapt your craft?
It's really, really important, I think, to be willing to adapt, you know, and I was reluctant too, to be honest. I mean, in the very beginning, it was kind of strange the way it worked out. I had actually batched a whole bunch of Gorilla Bars footage in January and the first couple weeks of February of this year, right before kind of the lockdown happened and the COVID situation started getting more serious in the US. So as it happened, you know, by sheer coincidence, I had, you know, a hard drive chock full of Gorilla Bars footage to sort of continue releasing even on into, you know, COVID. So, you know, I was sort of thankful to have all of that by coincidence and be able to sort of continue my Gorilla Bars series without having to go out in public and capture new footage. So I didn't have to adapt immediately. But as I started to run out of Gorilla Bars footage, I realized, you know, hey, like, who knows when the world will go back to, you know, quote unquote normal, you know, who knows when I'll actually be able to safely and responsibly go back out there and do my thing. And so I realized, you know, it's going to be important for me to start figuring out how to adapt and how to continue doing what I do. And so, you know, the important thing for my content, for a lot of my content, is showing people's faces light up when I freestyle, you know, showing other human beings reacting to what I do. And, you know, thankfully we live in a time where there are other tools like Omegle, which you mentioned, or even, you know, Zoom and all these sort of video chat tools where I'm able to connect with other human beings, even in these times, freestyle for them and showcase their reactions. And that's really what helps sell my content, is showing other people react to it. So yeah, I mean, for me, I was just so grateful to see with these sort of Omegle Bars style videos that we've been creating, which is essentially, you know, Gorilla Bars in a virtual space, that these videos were just as popular as the Gorilla Bars videos have been. And I was very thankful to see that. And even though I was reluctant in the beginning and I was like, oh, I don't know if it'll work. I feel like me being out in public is part of the appeal. And, you know, I don't know, on a video chat, it might be awkward. It might be weird. As it turns out, it wasn't. And it's just also given me a lot of confidence to realize, okay, it's not set in stone. You know, my content doesn't have to be one specific type of thing. It can evolve and change as the world evolves and changes. And I think COVID has been a great kind of motivator for a lot of brands to figure out how they can pivot in this particular instance. But this probably won't be the last time we have to pivot. You know, I think that continually we have to pivot as things change in society, as people's tastes sort of change and evolve, and just as society sort of changes and evolves and moves in a new direction. So yeah, I think it's really important.
So now for the fun part, Harry, are you willing to do a little freestyle rap for our audience?
Of course.
Awesome. So can I throw just a couple random words at you, if that's all right?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. And these are, I just want to caveat for the audience. I mean, there was no discussing this beforehand, anything along those lines. Okay, so the first word, I just have to put it in there, is Remax. So hoping you can incorporate that.
Yep.
Let's do living room.
Living room.
And pre-approved buyer.
Pre-approved buyer. I love it. All right. So Remax, living room, and pre-approved buyer, right?
You got it.
Okay, let's do this. I'm going to drop a beat. Can you hear my beat?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good. Right.
Okay. Hey. Okay. Come on. Listen. Let's go. Harry Mack all the way off top freestyle. Like we always do. Check it out. Come on. Hey. Check it out. When I rap, you know I make you feel a way. I be dealing lyrics like real estate. And there ain't another rapper who can handle these facts. Stealing real estate like I'm tapped in with Remax. We right here just to make it happen. Plugged into the track and I'm steadily rapping. It goes down, I be spitting for you. Got you relaxed like you chilling in your living room. Come on, for me to do these rhymes is mad easy. Relaxed in the living room, watching shows on TV. And when I kick my rhymes, they gon' get this. Yeah, y'all can chill while you watching some Netflix, all up on the television. I'ma spit with vision. I make the people listen when I stay up on my mission. And all these other rappers be down and out, but I'm relaxed up in the living room, all on my couch, and I'm just chilling. Now y'all know they make crazy noise. I got them all laying back like a lazy boy. Come on, I put it down and you should have known. You in your living room listening to me in your home. Yeah, hey yo, you know I spit the lyrics that's raw fast, and you know I'ma do it off top on the podcast. We had to come together. Y'all know I spit the fire. I'm dealing lyrics to all the pre-approved buyers, so come through, y'all can get this. Hey yo, I'm dropping more bars for y'all to witness. Come on, hey yo, you know that my flow is liquid water. Pre-approved buyers, please make me an offer. You got the approval, you know I move souls with all the rhymes I'm kicking. My flow is very sickening. I'm doing this off top when I'm spitting my bars. When it comes to lyricism, yes, I'm going too hard. Come on, I'm moving like real estate. I got all my people feeling great. Moving the houses, you know that I got them all bouncing. We tapping in and he threw me three random words. Now I'm kicking the bars that are fully absurd. Yeah, hey yo, they talk about it, but I came to live it. In times of COVID-19, we all have to pivot. Yeah, so now I'm on Omegle with the mad rhymes. Speaking of pivot, then this won't be the last time. Society will continue to change and evolve in new ways that we might find strange. We got to open up our minds, even though I was reluctant. The past can't be the time that we stuck in. So we gon' keep it moving, ain't no way to act this. They figured that it came in birth, but it came through practice. The only way I'm here right now is through the time I've invested many years in the freestyle rhymes. And as I said, if we were to rewind way back and listen to my very first freestyle raps, we would have said, Mac is whack, there's no way he'll make it. But now through practice, they consider my rhymes sacred. Yeah, and you know that my lyrics always been this true. I just ran y'all in reverse through the interview. It's Harry Mack for the girls and boys. So while you're home listening, please make some noise. Let's go.
Wow. Dude, that was so crazy. Wow.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, that's insane. And so we'll wrap up on the last question here that we ask all of our guests. Since it is the Remax Hustle podcast, we like to end every episode with what we call a hustle tip. So essentially, Harry, what is your Remax hustle tip for accomplishing a task when you really need to get something done?
My whole thing is trying to clear out all the distractions. I think that right now we live in a time where it's so easy to be distracted, you know, by technology. And so, you know, I think a big thing for me has been acknowledging my addiction to the phone, right? The algorithm really has me. And so I'm just, you know, really leaving the phone in the other room when it's time for me to go to work. I'm turning off notifications on my computer. You know, I'm not having my email open in the background. All those little things, you know, have an impact on our attention. And I think, you know, if you really need to get something done, you need to be able to give it your full attention. And you don't want to be hearing, even just hearing little bleeps and bloops from the phone, hearing the phone buzz on the table, you know, even that can subconsciously kind of sneak into your mind and pull a little bit of your attention away from the task at hand. So that's my hustle tip, man, is leave the phone in the other room, turn off those notifications, close the email down, and give 100% of your attention to the task at hand.
I love that. Such a good tip to end on. Well, thank you so much, Harry, for taking the time to share your knowledge on this episode of the Remax Hustle podcast. And where can people find you at if they want to see some more of your content?
Yes, absolutely. You can hit up my website, harrymackofficial.com. I'm also on youtube.com/HarryMack, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter @HarryMack. And I hope y'all tap in, man. Excited to build with you all.
Awesome. And that's all for this episode. We hope you took away an idea or strategy to help grow your business and, perhaps most importantly, allow you to continue that Remax hustle. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to the Remax Hustle podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and rate this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from.